Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
There's a teacher shortage that we hear about and have talked about a lot. We're going to talk about it this morning, an initiative going on at the University of Mary Washington. And we have a couple of guests from UMW, from the College of Education. Kevin Good is here. Christina Peck is here. Good morning to both of you. It's great to have you here.
Good morning. Good morning.
So you guys are part of something that we're going to talk about this morning called the STREAM Initiative, and we'll get into all that. But before we do, I'm assuming in the College of Education that at some point you seem like you've been teachers in the past.
That would be correct.
Yep.
So I'll start with you, Mr. Good. Talk about your background in teaching.
So I kind of took a long journey into education, got really interested. I have two master's degrees, and I've earned a PhD. But kind of got interested in how do we start to really help our kids have a better future? How do we make a better future for our own country? And it really got me involved in education and kind of started me down this journey. Started me down a journey of thinking, now, how do we get kids career ready, and what's that look like for everyone, for all of our students? Doesn't matter if they have a disability or if they're gifted or if they're just in the middle.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to have a future, and we can find that through our STEM work. And that's one of the things we're doing, which is really exciting.
What grades did you do? What did you teach when you were in high school, whatever you taught?
So I spent my career in K-5, but I've had middle and high school experiences. And I worked in special education primarily. So I worked with students with autism and emotional behavioral disorders and learning disabilities and those students who just needed extra support.
Wow. And that when you talk about an area where there is needs for and shortages, it certainly is in that area right now.
Yes, sir. It is.
Did you always want to be a teacher?
Part of me always wanted to be a teacher. Part of me was scared of being a teacher, too, because of the commitment that it makes. And on your heartstrings, so to speak, because it is a different mindset. It's not just a career, it's a passion. And so I had to accept that was who I was.
Yeah.
And I took that journey, and it was a good journey, and I'm glad I did.
Christina, how about you? What did you teach, and did you always want to be a teacher?
I did always want to be a teacher. I was very fortunate that I grew up with a mom who was a special education teacher, and I got to spend a lot of time in her classroom and, you know, go around town with her, and she'd run into former students, and they would be like, oh my gosh, Mrs. Ashwell, I'm so excited to see you. And I was like, that's what I want. Like, I want to have that kind of impact. So I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. I actually went to Mary Washington as a student, and I went through the teacher preparation program. Mm-hmm. I did my student teaching in Spotsylvania, and then I never left. I taught in Spotsylvania for 9 years. I was a high school math teacher, so I taught everything from Algebra 1 Part 1 to AP Calculus. So I kind of had the whole gambit, 9 through 12, all different levels and abilities. But then about 5 years ago, I found out there was an opening at my alma mater, and that was really exciting. So I became the Director of Clinical Experiences and Partnerships for the College of Education, which is a really fancy way of saying I work directly with the K-12 schools. I am the person who puts our students back into the schools, and also am kind of a liaison between them. Instead of being like, who do I go to on the website? This gives them one point of contact. So I do a lot with the schools, but I was a math teacher for 9 years, crazy enough. Everyone thinks I'm crazy when I said I was a math teacher for 9 years, but that's okay.
What school did you teach at?
I was at Riverbend for 9 years.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Never left there. I loved every minute of it. It was just a really exciting opportunity to have an impact on future teachers and kind of broaden what I'm able to do. So that was a big move for me.
And to have, I'm sure for you to have a connection to UMW and also area schools, knowing area schools, having taught here. What you've got, this is more than a passion for you. You know it firsthand.
100%. I have 3 children. 2 of them are currently in Spotsylvania schools. And not only when I was here and I got to be a teacher in the county and the passion I had for those students, because even when I didn't have kids, those were my kids. and you wanted to see them be successful. You wanted to see their joy and support them in their bad times. But now that I'm a parent, I'm even more passionate about it because my kids are so young. I only want the best for them, and that comes from solid teachers. The better education that they can leave Spotsylvania County with, the better prepared they're going to be, whatever path they go. And that's a big conversation we have with my kids all the time. College is not for everybody, and we're the first to admit that. But they need to be, as Kevin said, ready to enter the world, be career ready, and whatever that is. And that comes from a solid foundation in whatever path you're going. And that teachers have a large part in that.
I was just going to say, that's where teachers, and I'm sure that's where you got your passion for this, of seeing what a teacher can mean in your own life and in as a career.
Yep, and we've seen the impact of a good teacher, and we've seen the impact of a not-so-good teacher. And many times people who go into education because they were either, one, in a family where education was important and the educators were in the family, or they go in because a teacher made that much of an impact. They had, you know, I can talk back to, I remember as a high school Spanish teacher, Spanish 3, I remember so clearly just leaving her class being like, wow, the way she did that, like that was so cool. And it made such an impact on me, and seeing how she could get across a whole nother language to students in a way that was accessible and fun and engaging. So a lot of times people become teachers because they've had a powerful educational experience at some point in their life. My mom's still friends with my fourth grade teacher, to be completely honest. So, I mean, like sometimes educators become like family members for the rest of your life.
And I know in Spotsylvania, I know situations of people of where people that were students in class in a class came back, like in your case, as a teacher and taught in a school like that.
Absolutely.
And how cool is that?
I will say I did that for about half of a year. I went back to my old high school. It's very hard to go back. And then I remember I had a math teacher who was there when I was a student and then there when I was teaching. And I kept being like, Mrs. Klein. And she was like, you have to stop calling me Mrs. Klein. You are now my colleague. And I was like, okay.
I experienced the same thing when I started teaching. Went back to my home school district and everyone looked at me like, didn't you just leave here a few years ago?
Right. So the teacher shortage, how big of a problem is it?
It's a problem. It is definitely a problem. And we've kind of taken an outlook of, we recognize we're not going to magically make teachers pop out of the ground. This is a long game investment. You have to get people excited. You have to get people, like Kevin said, you have to know that this is a passion.
Right.
It is very hard to come in this field and be like, I'm just going to do it because I need a job. There's a lot that you do in the classroom that's not content-based. For some of our kiddos, we are a parent to them. Some of them see their teacher, especially in the elementary level, more than they see their parents.
Yeah.
So you're not only responsible for content. We're also responsible for making sure that their needs are met. You know, did they get breakfast this morning? If not, okay, let's make sure they get lunch. Do they have snacks? Oh, they look like they're having a rough day. Let's make sure that we meet their emotional needs. You know, we have students with disabilities. Are we making sure that all of those needs are met as well? So this is a passion. So we're not magically going to create this passion. So what we're trying to do is understand that if we can make better learning experiences, help keep the teachers that we have, keep their passion, keep them in the classroom, period. Our kids are going to have better experiences, and then we're going to spark more teachers and spark that passion in younger kids. I think that's my outlook on it. I know some people would love a bit different answer of, oh, you're going to magically find a pool of teachers who are sitting in a corner of Virginia that no one knows about.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's not the reality. But making sure our teachers are prepared to go beyond.
Yeah.
I mean, the research tells us if we do those things, if we do this work, then we can really see our kids engaged and we can see those outcomes. If we've trained teachers well, that we can take that passion and hone it with the skill. And that's what we do at Mary Washington. We take that passion, right? Because the ones who are coming to us have that passion. Mm-hmm. And we're honing that into a skill that's transferable, that's going to make a long-range impact, not just on our students at UMW, but our students in the community and across the state. It makes a difference.
Kevin Good and Christina Peck here from UMW, the College of Education. Quick break. We're going to continue on and talk about the STREAM initiative and what that means and how they're deploying it on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
There's a teacher shortage. What's being done about it? We're talking about it with the College of Education at the University of Mary Washington this morning. Christina Peck and Kevin Good here. The STREAM initiative. Let's talk about that because we're dealing in, it's an acronym. So and a pretty cool one. How long did it take you to put all of this together? Because it fits.
Yeah. So it is all thanks to our move. So in January of last year, it's hard to believe we've only been in our new building for a year. In January of 2022, the College of Education got to move into the newly renovated Seco Beck Hall. For all the alumni out there, that's, you know, where we used to eat.
Not an alumnus, but I've been around.
Seco Beck Hall was the cafeteria. It holds, I actually have a friend who I played soccer with at Mary Wash. Their dog is named Seco. So it holds a near and dear place to a lot of alumni's heart. And we've heard some very interesting stories as people have come back about what used to happen in the basement of Seco Beck. But I digress. So we got to move in January 2022. But prior to that, we got to have a real say in what this building looks like and to make it this really cool, innovative place for us to train teachers. We do share the space with the Office of Disability Resources, or ODR, which is awesome because education and the Office of Disability Resources go hand in hand. That is a giant passion project. Kevin and two of our other faculty members, Melissa Jenkins and Jennifer Walker, are both all special education educators. Mm-hmm. And to be in a building that is all about making education accessible for all people, pretty cool. But when we moved in, we got this great space called the Makerspace downstairs. And we had one kind of in James Farmer, but this one was innovative and cool. And they really thought about, like, we need outlets, we need storage, we need this and that. So we moved in and we're like, we can't let this place go to waste. So having this space really spurred a whole line of creativity for us. So there was one day in Seco Beck that Kevin, myself, and another colleague, Christy Irish, literally sat in one of the team rooms and just put names up. We just started working with different acronyms and like, oh, we could call it this, we could call it this. And then we really did land on STREAM.
Took us, maybe an hour, I think, to kind of land there, which is kind of the funny thing when you think, how did you come up with the name? We're like, oh, yeah, we did it in an hour. In an afternoon over some coffee.
So STREAM means it is STEM expanded because as a liberal arts college, we are very, very passionate that it is not just about the sciences. There is a bigger picture to it all. So STREAM is STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. But we added an R and an A. And this is, it's kind of a topic that's debated in the world of education. Are you diluting STEM by making it STEAM or STREAM? But we were really passionate about that for sure, A, the arts needed to be in there. That is a huge, huge part of what we're doing because you have to have creative thinking. It's actually in the portrait of a graduate from VDOE. They have something called the 5 C's, where you have collaboration, communication, critical thinking, but they have creative thinking in there. You can't be, even as an engineer, you can't be someone who can only follow the steps because sometimes the steps don't work. Sometimes you have to think out of the box. You're going to get a problem that just doesn't follow the mold. And if you're not able to say, well, what about this? What about that? And the arts really help with that.
That they do. It gives kids a chance to think differently. And if we really want to see innovation, that's how innovation happens. We've got to get people outside of a box and say, what does it really look like? How do you imagine the world? And that's where we get our new solutions. I mean, if you look at all the things that come out and we're all fascinated by them, it's because it's people who weren't so confined to this is the only way it can be done, but we're willing to to think larger picture size.
And we have a class that our elementary students, elementary future educators take called Arts Integration. And that's all about how do we use the arts to teach? Because there is research that shows that whole body learning is, it's really beneficial for students. There's actually a lot of research with students who are oftentimes called at risk. We like to call them at promise. You know, because we don't want to put that negative connotation. Like, and I will give credit to Dr. Melissa Wells for putting that into my vocabulary. But there are students, especially Title I schools or, you know, socioeconomically disadvantaged, where if you bring in the arts. So an example, Melissa Wells did an activity where they did a science topic through dance. And she had everybody, boys, girls, you know, all up and moving and I mean, I know some of the stuff that I remember the most is because I learned a little song. Or, you know, in my math classroom, we talked about the different shapes. So we would use our arms to talk about what graphs look like. And you'd see kids during the quiz or test be like, okay, I can't, I'm not supposed to do this. But you see like the little arm movements of being like, what did this look like? So having that way of teaching is also important.
Oh, kids singing the presidents, those, you know, my kids learned all the presidents by some song that they still sing today.
Well, it's so funny. I'm always in the car and a song will come on from whenever I was younger. We're not going to date me on the radio, but I'm shocked that I can remember the lyrics and I haven't heard it in 10 years.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday, but I remember this song because it hits a different part of my brain. So the arts are really, we're really passionate about that. And then the R, I'm gonna let you talk about the R.
The R is extremely important. It stands for reading and writing. So you pick up the, I know it doesn't quite make sense, right? The R comes out of the second part of that, the writing word, but it's this idea of we've got to have that skill. We've all sat and read the user's manual that we thought, who wrote this, right? And it's because we haven't actually taught people how to integrate technology, how to integrate all these pieces into something that actually makes sense for the common person, or to be able to have those communication pieces. We've worked with some employers in the area who look and say, people don't know how to write an email or respond to something. And we're like, it's because it's missing because we shifted our focus so heavy, STEAM, which is extremely important. Mm-hmm. But we forgot that there's some of these skills that you need in order to be successful in that STEAM
area. Forget coders have to write documentation.
Right.
You know, and someone else needs to be able to go into your code and understand what the purpose of this was. So we really think, and it ties perfectly in with a liberal arts education, that it is so much bigger because all of those STEM topics can be used outside of those core content areas. We can bring engineering into a English classroom, for sure. There is a lot of great lessons out there where you take a children's book and you say, what was the problem that the main character has? You know, oh, they can't cross the river. Okay, so let's design something to help them cross the river. Maybe you can come up with a better idea than what happened in the book. That's engineering. Yeah. But it's right inside of being like, okay, well, he had this material. This is what the setting was in the book. So you're taking in all these key parts from the literature, but then you're applying them through that engineering process. So long story short, that's what STREAM means. They're all letters for different parts. And the initiative or outreach is just because we don't want to contain it. If we have such a great space and we can learn so much from the outside as well, there are some fantastic educators in this area. We can't live in a silo. We have to take this outside of the walls of CECOEC.
Yeah, and it's really given us that opportunity to see the whole picture of education at the university. And I think for our university students, it's been a nice experience because not only are they out in the classrooms and seeing what's happening in the classrooms, we're able to show them, like, here's where we're headed. Like, here's how we start to respond to these, to our teacher shortages, to employee shortages in STEM careers, because we know that's a massive issue. Mm-hmm. Here's how we're starting to respond. Here's how you can be a part of changing that future and painting the future you want to see.
And what's exciting about this is to do it at UMW, you've got smaller classes. There's so much more one-on-one than if this were being done at a bigger place.
Absolutely, and we're able to provide opportunities for our students to be engaged. So we've hosted a number of field trips, and on those field trips, we've been able to let our COE students be. Some of them have designed lessons and they've got to run them. And we know that these lessons are directly related to what they're learning in our class. Or we've had people just come use our makerspace and we let our students teach them how to use the different technology. So we're providing additional clinical opportunities for our students to learn how to engage in this material, but also work with students of all different backgrounds. Because I will tell you, we've had a gambit come in. We've had different counties, we've had different ages, we've had different ability levels. We're providing, it's kind of selfish on our part, we're providing really cool opportunities for our students while also being able to support the education and our students in the area.
And it's been neat listening to the students give their feedback as we listen to, as they get back on the buses and we overhear conversations because you're standing there helping them get on buses. And you're hearing them say, these students who didn't think college was an option or didn't see themselves as a STEM person are saying, you know, I could do something like this. And they're having these conversations just off the cuff with their friends. And that's when you know it's authentic, not staged for teachers just to make us feel good.
Oh, I think my favorite powerful thing was Spotsylvania County brought the fifth graders from Harrison Road Elementary School all came for a 3-hour field trip, and we rotated them through stuff. We dropped them off at the bell tower. Very iconic spot on campus. And then so we wanted to walk them down Campus Drive, because one thing with Harrison Road being a Title I school, many of these students, even though they live locally, haven't ever been on campus. And if you've ever walked on campus, it's beautiful. That's one of the big selling features of the campus.
Yeah.
So we wanted to tie in that campus tour without doing a campus tour, because fifth graders aren't going to listen for 30 minutes while we're walking them around. So we took them from the bus to their first location. And as I'm walking down, I have this little girl next to me, and she's like, I'm going to call my sister when I get home. She's at college now, and I'm going to tell her I was on a college campus. And I was just like, oh, that's so sweet.
What a great opportunity for everyone. And who knows, some of those kids being exposed to this may decide, I'd like to do that.
Yeah. Well, and we are very lucky for some of our bigger field trips, like the Harrison Road one where we had all the fifth graders come. We've been able to team up with some of our colleagues in the science department, specifically the biology department, the physics department, and the chemistry department. They have graciously given time and energy to host these students in the labs in Jepson. So these fifth graders who don't get to do lab-based science outside of their classroom got to go into real college labs and see what, you know, those elusive college kids, what do they get to do? They got to do labs that were being run by people who are scientists, people who have degrees and background in these really cool options for them later down the road. So that alone, just being able to go into the lab and be like, wow, this is what it looks like, I think sparks, especially doing it fifth grade. I know it's a long game kind of thing, but in fifth grade, it's such a pivotal time because they're getting ready to go into middle school where they start making choices about what they want to do. Oh, maybe I do want to take a computer class. Oh, maybe I really want to dive into the sciences. Mm-hmm. I can start thinking about what I want to do. So that was really cool. Yeah.
And for us, we really believe in that long game because research is really showing us that, hey, if kids aren't captured by third, fifth grade, between those grade ranges for STEM work, we've lost them at that point. It's a long hill battle to make that transition.
And especially our underrepresented populations. The research shows that around third grade is when you lose most girls and you lose your students of color.
Yeah. And if we look at special education, the results are almost mirror those and are abysmal in terms of when we look at career outcomes for STEM and for individuals who should be in STEM and can be in STEM. Mm-hmm. Because we haven't painted that picture and made that an option.
Kevin Good is here. Christina Peck from the College of Education at the University of Mary Washington, the STREAM initiative helping get teachers in dealing with the teacher shortage. Our focus this morning, we'll take a break and continue along this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking College of Education, UMW this morning, University of Mary Washington, from the College of Education, Kevin Good and Christina Peck here as we talk about the teacher shortage and what really UMW really on the front lines of looking at this and strategizing. Kevin Good, as we talk about STEM, we were talking just off the air a few minutes ago, and I really would fall into this of where whenever STEM is talked about, in my mind, it's well, those are really the smart kids. To be in STEM, you're in governor's school, you have high, you're a high achiever, and you all were just telling me that's not the always the case.
Yeah, it's not the case. It's a huge misconception that STEM is only for the what we would traditionally call gifted and talented. It's really for everyone. I think that's the for me the nice thing about the technology advances that we've seen is it's really made it to the point where everyone can get involved and we can work to find a way for students to get involved. One of the things we were saying off of air is we were seeing students who traditionally, like, we see them failing other subjects in school, but they'll excel in computer science class where they're learning to code because it's interesting for them. It gives them a different way to see the world. And that's really what this whole initiative is about, is helping kids see the world differently and finding their interest, their passion, and translating that into success for themselves and how they see themselves.
It must be exciting to be able to see, like you say, some of those students that might be marginalized to be able to find a home in STEM.
It is. Like when you see that light bulb go off as a teacher, and teachers will know when we say that light bulb moment for a student, you see just this pure joy come over a student's face. It's life-changing for us. That's what drives us to do what we do every day. That's why we do these outreach initiatives, is we're working to help our local teachers help their students find those light bulb moments and find them in STEM.
And it's just creating more authentic experiences because, you know, a lot of us grew up in a time where school was, you know, lecture, do some work, quiz. Lecture, do some work, quiz.
Yeah.
And if we're trying to prepare them to be productive citizens in our world right now, that's not what the world looks like. Our world looks like, hey, you're going to go into a job. You're going to maybe be encountered with a problem. You're probably going to have to work with some people to solve said problem. And it's not always going to work. You're going to have to fail. And that's okay. And I feel like a lot of us grew up in a time where failing wasn't okay. You know, oh, you didn't get it? Too bad. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Not the case. It's just you may need to look at it a different way. And that's that creative thinking, the problem solving, being able to play off of other people's strengths. So we really think that this is providing more authentic experiences that then can be translated into job-related skills later on because they're learning the necessity of communication. They're learning that they have to learn or be able to collaborate with people. So I love seeing the kids come in. We actually, on election day when the schools were closed, we did a pretend field trip because we're still trying to figure out the space and the equipment in there. And we brought kids up K through 5 just to come and play with all the stuff. We were very, very lucky. We got a donation from Dahlgren for some equipment, about $30,000 worth of equipment that included like Lego robotics, 3D printers, VR goggles, we got a Spiros, which are robots. So we got some really cool stuff, but yeah, it's great if we can figure it out, but we want to make sure we can help have the kids figure it out. I don't want to give a Sphero to a kindergartner and then be like, I have no idea what's going on. So we had this makeshift practice day where we had them come in, and just one of the activities that blew their mind was going into the hallway in Secobec and taking a prism and looking at light reflection and refraction through the prism.
Yeah.
They just thought it. The questions they were asking and the things that they were trying, it wasn't prompted. We literally handed them this crystal and said, hey, this is cool. Go look at this. And just seeing the thoughts in their – oh, my goodness. It was – I say it's one of my best days we've had at work. Okay. I had so much fun that day.
Right. It's because we're really embracing this idea of problem-based learning, letting kids solve problems and not being scared to see what they come up with. Rather than thinking I always have the solution as the teacher, I'm saying, what solution do you have? And I'm looking to see how they come up with that solution. Obviously, I'm there to help and guide them. I know an ultimate solution, but letting them take that path and realizing it's okay to be wrong and to try again, that's where success happens. If we look some of our best coders and some of the best of technology, it did not come out the first time. Mm-hmm. It was, we're looking at the fifth and sixth generation of something till we actually see something stable. And that we're actually embracing as a society. I mean, you look at your own computer, the first computer It's not today's computer, right? It's been through a lot of of innovation.
We're on what, iPhone 13, 14?
Right? You think first computers was a bunch of switches and some lights, to now we actually have advanced operating systems with what we call GUI systems. And it was because it took time. It took failure. And that's where those real authentic learning experiences happen. That's where we actually get our best stuff.
And I think one of the coolest applications that we've been able to do recently is we partnered up with Spotsylvania County's REACH program, which is for students, special education students, who have basically aged out of traditional K-12 schools.
Right.
It's a transition type of program to help them learn more job-relatable skills. They actually did a Christmas project with us. Mm-hmm. And Kevin's class went in and actually worked with them and stuff. So do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it was a fun event. I looked at my students and said, We've got some students here in this community. Let's make an outreach effort towards them, and let's get them involved, right? If we believe STEM is for everyone, we got to put our mouse where our money is, so to speak, and actually do this stuff. And so I looked at my students. I said, you design it. Well, they were in classes with me. We talked about stuff all year long. It became this real application project for them. And they designed a series of stations and events and taught. Not only were they completing the projects because they came in to use some of our advanced cutting equipment and stuff that we have in the space that's all based off of digital cutting materials, but actually was teaching them like coding. So we had kids out in the hall, like they finished the project and then they're going out with my students and learning how to do coding, on like intro coding. It was the coolest thing for me to see. I had a proud professor moment at that moment of watching my students take this on and be bold. And say, you know what, he sat here and told us we can do this, and they tried it, and they saw that students could do it. I mean, I've got a bunch of students now that are consistently in the space, not being paid to be there. Like, they are showing up multiple times a week saying, teach us more. We want to know more. How can I do this with my students?
And it was just really cool seeing students who, for the most part, never would have even had the opportunities for the electives to even get into these STEM classes. And, you know, heaven forbid we put any of them in the advanced science or the advanced math class. You know, this is another real world skill. There's so much out there that you were talking about it the other week about how you can code now visually.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily even need to be able to use your hands. So if we can think in that way, you know, why aren't we giving them those opportunities? So that was a really neat outreach moment. Yeah. So we've seen kids as young as kindergarten come in the space and be successful. And then we've seen students who traditionally wouldn't be in the space, who are out of school, who are working on career skills, be successful. So we think it's really a great space for everybody to come in and just try something.
Because with our technology now, it gives us a chance to finally level.
Yeah.
To level to what works for an individual, and then I can plug you in and get you involved.
Yeah.
I mean, Christine was saying already, like, you can actually control computers with just your eyes now. There is the equipment out there. I can set you up. You can code. Even if you can't move your physical body, if you have eye movement, you can code. If you can twitch your eye, I can hook switches to your body, and you can code to your heart's content, because we have the ability now, because so many advances in technology
really
has now made it available to everyone. And that's for me, the exciting trajectory. This thing that was for the gifted now, and that's how we always thought about it. We've seen this progression that now it's for everyone. And it's because we've had innovators who thought outside the box and said, I see this need. How can I help my community members to be able to do these things? And they found those solutions.
You two have thought out the box. This is what's really exciting about this, and just hearing you two talk and with your enthusiasm, because you're really working on a whole bunch of levels. But just the basic level, you're helping teachers become better teachers in the classroom. The students that are coming out of Mary Washington and going into the classroom just sound like they're going to have tried a lot more things. But you're also helping students in high school and in middle school start to look at teaching as an education. So this is really, you've got a whole lot of different levels at work here.
We're hoping. That's the hope and the dream. You know, we've been really lucky, though, with just partnerships. Most of this, actually, we have to give a shout out to the Advancing Computer Science Education grant that Stafford led, but it was a regional grant. Mm-hmm. That was during COVID. They got this grant to help build resources and teach teachers about the computer science standards from BDOE. Kevin was on their advisory board, and then Kevin, myself, and Teresa Kaufman, and another one of our other faculty members, got pulled in to do some consulting, and then it turned into professional learning opportunities, which culminated with a sandbox where we brought a small group of teachers. And that was like, oh, we can bring teachers here because they don't all have access to this. Not everybody has a makerspace or a STEM lab. So it's been a really great conversation with our area partners. We went to a conference actually with that group. So we had people from Fredericksburg City, King George, Stafford County. We were all there learning together from people across the state about what they're doing. And it's just a really exciting time, and there seems to be a need for it. But we also have to remember one thing when it comes to this is, yes, STEM is fantastic. Makerspaces are great, great technology, big, bad, and fancy. STEM doesn't have to be done with big fancy tools. Mm-hmm. No. That makeshift field trip day, we started the day off with one piece of paper, scissors, and tape. Which team can build the longest chain? And they had to figure out how to cut it in lengths and widths and this and that, put the chain together. They worked in a team. Those kids were so proud. They were so into it, and it had no technology. But it was communication, collaboration, critical thinking, and creative thinking. So you can do this low tech to no tech. It's just that foundation can then be integrated with the technology to build those extra skills. And when we have access to it, we need to share that wealth. We need to give people the ability to get in here and see it and dream of possibilities.
And for us at Mary Washington Communities, community is a value for us. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons, I think that's why it's become a passion project for us, is that we want to really see our students in this area, our community members, how can we help everyone be successful? How can we get this in front of every student's hand? How can we show teachers that you can teach even if you don't have the latest, fanciest equipment? And we know some of our school partners, they don't always have the latest, fanciest equipment. How can they do it without that?
Go get a prism.
Right?
And you can find those at swap shops and everything across town.
A slinky down the stairs. Go get a slinky from the dollar store.
Oh, I love doing that.
Yeah. And you can teach these skills using everyday objects and then work and show kids how it scales up from there.
For teachers to be able to do this kind of thing, and like you said, whether it's a light bulb going off or just having kids so excited about something, that's a great payoff too.
Absolutely,
it is.
Just to do that kind of thing, I would think coming out of the teachers that you're sending out of Mary Washington, you got to be proud of, because
100%
we are
100%.
If I'm a local school district, and this local school districts are always talking about, well, we got to go to Pennsylvania to find teachers. Mm-hmm. There's some good teachers being trained right here at Mary Washington.
Absolutely, and I sometimes have to beat the school divisions off with a stick to not steal them from us. But we do take pride in the students that we help along their way. You know, a lot of them, they start with the passion, and that's not something that we can teach them, but we can help teach skills. We can build a toolbox for them, but we just have some awesome, awesome kids in the COE who are doing amazing things on their own and are pushing us to become better educators. Because that's the whole thing with being a teacher. You are constantly learning. This never stops. You have a new bunch of kids who come in your classroom every year with different stories and different backgrounds and different needs. And you have to be ready and willing to work with anybody who walks in your door. And you never stop learning in order to do that. You have to keep learning, and you learn from everybody, whether they're a novice teacher, someone who's dreaming of being a teacher, who's someone who's been doing it for 40 years. It's all about that growth mindset and the willingness to go outside of your box. If we expect our kids to do it, we have to do that ourselves. Yeah. And it's so much fun working in that environment and learning. I learned so much from my colleagues. Yeah. It's unreal. Yeah.
Christina Peck, Kevin Good here from the College of Education at the University of Mary Washington. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EB Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Wow, good stuff this morning. UMW and the University of Mary Washington, the STREAM initiative through the College of Education. Kevin Good and Christina Peck here. You've mentioned it before, but a lot of this, just just the fact that of having Dahlgren in the neighborhood, yep, has definitely helped this. And just there's a lot of community partners involved in what you're doing.
Been fantastic. Dahlgren's actually come out and run a couple of our rotations at field trips. One day they brought robots that they use in the military, and our kids got to see it. Their faces when one of the robots was a robot that you literally throw into a building. And he just threw it, and their faces were like, "Oh, mom's gonna yell at me!"
Right. Yeah.
But he was like, "No, that's what it's built for," you know. So they brought robots. They did electricity last time they came, and
we've had one of the local electric co-ops come and do things. So it takes community to actually show like what careers are here.
Yeah.
To also keep our students here, that they don't want to leave the area, but that they see a future in this community is really important to us.
They've been absolutely a fantastic partner and very supportive of what we're doing.
What's so exciting about what you're doing too is instead you didn't just come in here and just wring your hands and there's a teacher shortage and we really want you to consider this career because and talk about all the teacher things. You're really involved in a lot of things to show them what it can be.
Right.
And that's exciting.
In the field of education, yes, we know all the things that we're fighting against. We know, and we don't even really want to go into it because there's negative things about being a teacher right now. And it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth continuing to dive in. Yes, we need to fix some of those issues 100%. But what we can do is try to help the people who have chosen this career to create the best learning experiences for their students in hopes that we will spark the passion in other students to eventually continue this journey with us.
And create their own passion too within this, keeping that renewed, like, why am I a teacher? Why do I keep doing this day in, day out, year after year, of helping them see like there is something new, there's a new way to think about this, I can do something about this. Helping them see solutions solutions are in their power, and helping them find that, and empowering teachers, I think, has also been a fun journey for me with this. When we've hosted school districts on campus, of watching teachers get passionate again about what they do.
We want to empower education, not drag it down. If we can.
Passionate again. That's a great that's a great phrase. If I'm a student, if I'm a parent, if I'm a grandparent, in want to know more information, what's umw.edu and look for College of Education.
We have our College of Education page. We are very active right now on Twitter. We have a COE Twitter. We do not currently have a page for the stream stuff. We do have a basic page on the education, which is education.umw.edu. There is a section that's called the stream that just gives you some contact. But we like to work directly with groups to really design it. So we have Hartwood Elementary School coming, their fifth grade's coming, and we've worked directly with the teachers to target some areas to help support what they're doing in the classroom and not just making it a standalone event. So we really like to work with people when it comes to building stuff. So they can go to the website, look, and get our contact information from there.
And we're always looking for community partners too, because we want to mirror what's going on in our community to be able to help support the work that's already happening with our various businesses and things that are here. So we really believe in that as well.
I have big dreams. Very, very big dreams for this.
Why am I not surprised?
And sometimes I have to be reined in. So if anybody else wants to support those big dreams, come on over.
Our dean's always scared when we schedule an hour to talk to each other and have dream sessions.
I can see that.
He's like, where are we headed next with you two? So. And he really encourages that.
That's
so we appreciate that.
If you're a business and want to get involved,
come to
sit down and talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
To us. Let us know.
Well, thank you two. This has been just fabulous, and I was told beforehand that you had a lot of passion for this, and Lisa was right. That is very true. Kevin Good and Christina Peck from the College of Education at the University of Mary Washington. The STREAM Initiative. We will talk again, I am sure. And thanks for what you're doing in the community and for education as
a
whole.
Thank you for giving us some time to talk about it. We really appreciate it. You probably regret giving us a mic, but
you're fun.
This was so much fun, so thank you very much.
It was. Thank you.
To share our story.
Again, check out the College of Education at the University of Mary Washington. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.